And people in general is a multi-tiered system of oppression, including direct military occupation of the Gaza, of the West Bank, and medieval siege that has been imposed on the Gaza Strip since 2006. And Israel has been building illegal settlements, transforming the West Bank into three large Bantustans and cantons, and has been adopting apartheid policies against the Palestinian citizens of the State of Israel. I think then I can understand where your guest is coming from.
Well, Frederick Peterson, our guest ahead, our aide, talks about Israel and how it should abide by UN resolutions. I think Israel holds the record for not abiding by UN resolutions. But let me ask you this, Frederick Peterson. How many Palestinians do you think were killed this year by Israel? Aside from what's happened in the past 2 days.
Certainly, in this latest round, there have been approaching 100 that were killed.
No, I'm not counting what's happened now. No. Not counting what's happened in the past 48 hours. What's
out? No, the hundreds more that were wounded. And if you combine, pardon me,
Frederick Peterson, I'm asking from June on, from January until this war, how many Palestinians have been killed?
How many Palestinians have been killed?
Many hundreds have been killed.
Okay, no.
Yes.
I think there's an echo that you're not hearing my question right. What I'm trying to get at here is from the beginning of this year up to this war, Frederick Peterson, there's been a total of 23 Palestinians killed based on our accounts here, of which 12 was killed when the settlers were found, the bodies of the settlers of which Israel went through the occupied territories. 12 Palestinians were killed there. And then we had on Nakba Day, for example, 2 killed. My point being, why is it that the deaths of these Palestinians don't get highlighted, but as soon as you have 3 settlers who are killed, the whole world and the media turns their attention to that?
Okay, we were having a feed problem. However, let me say that the now approaching 100 settlers, or not settlers, but Palestinians, those who occupy the Gaza land, who have been killed, were not necessarily killed just without provocation. And if we further break down those who died and claim that they are all innocents, and by innocence, I mean if someone is feeding rockets into a tube and launching them, and you count a counterstrike against them as the death of innocence, I think is, we can argue about the provocations. It is much better to have the arguments back and forth being done in a civilized manner rather than to have airstrikes conducted arbitrarily against cities that provoke a response that also have excess. I certainly will agree, and have within it inherently the likelihood of innocents being injured. This is, or killed, in fact, as has happened. Certainly we must agree, however, this has happened on both sides. We must suck the oxygen out of the air for exaggerated claims and allow
only the purified air. Frederick Peterson, I think we're still having some connection problems. Hit our ad. Our guest there, Frederick Peterson, talks about how we should take the oxygen out of this. I'm assuming at this point now that he may be referring to the international community. I guess I'm left where to go with that. You perhaps can tell us, because the response has been not much. When you look at how many children have been killed, women to have been killed, based on the latest stats that we have, of which it amounts to, at this point, as you informed us, 54 Palestinians now dead.
No, absolutely. You know, the problem I have with that kind of language and discourse, Kaveh, is that it deals with both parties as, you know, as two equal parties. I don't think that the international community towards the late of 80s dealt with the oppressed South Africans and the apartheid system as two equal parties. In fact, the international community imposed sanctions against apartheid South Africa until it complied with international law. Here in the Palestinian situation, what you have is that on the one hand, you have the fourth strongest army equipped with American-made weapons, including F-16s, phosphorus bombs, and nuclear heads, etc., etc. And on the other hand, what do you have? You have what you refer to as, you know, homemade rockets, and we have also stones. I mean, don't forget that in the mid-80s, the likes of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher used to call Nelson Mandela a terrorist, and they had diplomatic ties with apartheid South Africa under which they called constructive engagement. But towards the late 80s, the international community was fed up with apartheid South Africa and decided to impose sanctions against it until Nelson Mandela was released from jail in 1990 and was elected as the first black president of multiracial South Africa. My problem with the kind of language that your guest from America is using is that in fact, it is in a way racist that doesn't take into consideration our right, the Palestinian right to life. So far, not a single Israeli has been killed. And then you hear a kind of justification of massacres. When you have more than 55 houses being demolished and attacked directly by airstrikes, and then you justify that by referring to something, you know, something illusory about, you know, the safety of the state of Israel. In fact, it was Israel that violated the Hudna or the Khan that we have when it 2 days ago attacked and killed 6 members of Hamas, after which there was a barrage of rockets against the surrounding settlements of the Gaza Strip. And therefore, what I'm saying is that we need to be conscientious when we talk about equality, when we talk about oppression. The party that has been occupying Gaza and the West Bank is Israel, not the other way around. The party that has been implementing apartheid laws, and that is according to the United Nations, including the United States of America, it has recognized the fact that Israel is an apartheid state. And if you remember, Foreign Minister John Kerry last month when he had a slip of tongue and he talked about the A word, or rather, you know, apartheid. So what we need to start seriously talking about is the end of the apartheid system in Palestine and the beginning of the road, what Nelson Mandela used to call the long walk to freedom. That is to say, freedom and justice for all, not only for an ethno-religious group that has a strategic tie with the United States of America.
Well, it's hard to see how that is going to come about, Frederick Pearson. I'm looking here at some stats that I want to ask you about. Between the year 2000, that's when the uprising started against this occupation, until today, the number of Palestinian children to have been killed by Israeli soldiers and illegal settlers. Do you know what that number is? And if there's an echo, I'm going to tell you. Over 1,540 Palestinian children to have been killed. Okay? I mean, I think the stat speaks for itself. We're looking at the Israeli Offensive Forces Chief of Staff, Benny Gantz, who has approved plans for a ground offensive into Gaza. This news came out just about an hour ago. I'm wondering how many more Palestinians are going to get killed. Why would there be a ground offensive even necessary?
Well, let me say this. We have talked about apartheid, which in my opinion has almost nothing to do. It's trotted out to create an emotional response. We should be talking about the facts on the ground. And those facts are onerous and horrendous enough in their own right, so that it does create a certain horror. When a innocent dies, it is a crime against humanity. We should not be disputing that whatsoever. And yet, I have not heard from the other side a mention of the hundreds of missiles that rained down upon cities in Israel with the intent to do what? Deliver cream puffs? I don't think so. This isn't a remote pizza delivery service for women and children in Israel. It is intended to create death and destruction. The failure of success in that attempt should be a matter of our conversation here as well. If it had succeeded, would that be a matter of joy to one side or another? My position is, our position should be that innocent deaths on either side must be rejected by both sides and by the world community, because a failure to do that calls into question the credibility of the ones making the assertion and the ultimate justice of their cause.
Very well. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We just don't have any more time to talk about this, as I'm looking at the obituary list of some who are as low in age as 10, the lowest being 4 years old, that have been killed in this Israeli offensive. Thank you, our guest, Associate Professor Al-Azhar University, Haidar Aid, and thank you, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor Frederick Peterson, for your thoughts in this edition of The Debate. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom@presstv.ir. That's our email address. For me, Kavitha Wei, and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.